in a verse and use that for a lesson and some thoughts for just a few moments. And I'm not getting the right signal on my microphone here. I'll have to take care of that later. Sorry about that. But I'll try and speak up a little bit. In Acts, the 8th chapter, you recall when the eunuch in a conversation, and eunuch asked him about what Isaiah 53 is talking about. And we come down to verse 34. Verse 34 of Acts 8, it says, "So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. And as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? In verse 37, then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. My emphasis this morning is that verse 36 that we just read. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? I just think it's an interesting question that he has in mind. What's it's almost like, are there any barriers? Is there anything, obstacle, keeping me from being able to be baptized or to be able to obey the gospel of Christ? And yet this is a great example of conversion as we see developed in the New Testament. And it revolves around really a very religious person, a person who has traveled a great distance to come and worship God here in Jerusalem, and he's on his way home. And at the same time also, he is willing to listen. He's willing to learn from Philip, and Philip has the opportunity to preach the teachings of Christ to him. And immediately, upon hearing this, explaining Isaiah 53 and what Philip has to say, we see this question that the eunuch has. See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? I'm interested in the word hinder there. It's an interesting question for someone in his position. And it may have a lot of things going on, which that may very well be true. If you've ever talked the truth to someone and they've got questions here, there, and yonder, some of them are pertinent to the subject of obedience to the gospel. Others are right on point of understanding what they must be. When he asked this question, what hinders me from being baptized? I just think it's an enlightening thought. It reveals everything that we have tried to say before about obedience to the gospel. It just makes the statement in verse 35 that Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this verse, preached Jesus to him. And yet in the very next verse, after hearing Jesus preached, he asked the question, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? He recognizes somewhere in the story of Philip preaching Jesus that baptism in water is a part of that gospel. And of course, that's also what Jesus taught when you read over Mark, the 16th chapter. We all recognize that. His apostles also taught that in Acts 2 and verse 38 and continuing to teach that all the way through the rest of the New Testament. But his question raises an interesting thought. What hinders me? And that's something that every one of us have to deal with, this idea of hindering. The word hinder there means the idea to prevent or restrain or forbid. Over in the 10th chapter, you recall when Peter goes to the house of Cornelius, and down at verse 47, Peter says, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? The word forbid there is the same word that's translated hinder here back in the 8th chapter. But it's not just the definition of the word, it's the very idea that somebody recognizes something that prevents them, something that is restraining them, something that forbids them from obeying the gospel, and they recognize this force or this existence in their life in dealing with God. We've all got many hindrances depending on just the life you live, where you are, your age, your time, there's always a difficulty of overcoming problems. I don't care if you're a farmer or you're a nurse or you're a business owner or you're a college student. You've always got some issues and problems that you have to deal with and overcome to continue on doing what you need to take care of. And yet here he recognizes there may be some things keeping him from being baptized. And what great things could be accomplished if none of us had any hindrances at all. Or maybe ask, what could we accomplish if we had the energy of a 7 or 8 year old? We could accomplish so many, or get into a lot of trouble. But we recognize there are hindrances in every form of life. And yet hindrances come, and they're a part of it, and we need to recognize them. The Apostle Paul was talking about the idea of the sources of being hindered, and that was the thing I wanted to for just a few moments look at, sources of hindrances in Galatians 5. You turn with me over there. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, and Paul is speaking to the brethren there, and they're having some problems. He's having to answer some questions for them. And we read down at verse 7. Galatians 5, verse 7. He says, "You run well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" And he's talking to brethren here. They're already brethren. They're already brothers and sisters in Christ. They're trying to do a work for the Lord. And yet, Paul recognizes in their life, they had been hindered from doing some things for the Lord. He said, "You did a good job. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" And he goes on to say, "This persuasion did not come from him who calls you." Then he goes on to say, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. But he's trying to impress upon us the point that hindrances do come. If you look back in verse 4 of Galatians 5, "You have become estranged or separated from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace." There are some things that are hindrances that are not just innocent little things. There are things that we must face. There are issues and questions that can lead us in the wrong direction and can lead us to the point of being separated from the Lord. Look with me over in Revelation, the 2nd chapter, where John is speaking to the church in Ephesus. And he says in verse 4, he says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." Well, what a situation a church, a congregation has got itself into, where the apostle has to say something's gone terribly wrong there. You've left your very first love. And then look at the way he describes them. Verse 2, Revelation, the 2nd chapter, verse 2. "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary nevertheless." I mean, just look at the previous verse there, verse 3. You've persevered. You've had patience. You've labored. And yet it seems like something has changed in their thinking, their purpose, their design, whatever they're trying to achieve. Verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat or this against you, that you have left your first love." John and Paul and Peter would all tell these people, just like we read over in Galatians, the 5th chapter, he says, "This is not from him who called you." Jesus is the one who has called us to obedience to the gospel, and it's not him who is creating the hindrance or the problem or leading someone to be described as, "You have left your first love." Matter of fact, in Philippians 4 and verse 13, Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, not hinder me." So we can be facing these hindrances all along in our life, from just hearing the gospel and deciding whether I'm going to obey the gospel, become a child of God, as the Ethiopian eunuch did. or just being a part of a local congregation, trying to do the will of God, trying to serve Him, honor Him, hold Him first in our life without us losing our first love. And that ought to be extremely important. That ought to be something that we think about in our lives. Where is my thought? What is my thought? Psalms 33 and verse 20, David said, "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." Yep, learn with me. Look with me back over in 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter. 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter. And we read down at verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 18. "Therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again." And he's making this statement. We wanted to come to even me, the Apostle Paul. The one had the authority to speak the name of Christ in their presence. "Even I, Paul, time and again. But Satan hindered us." If Satan could hinder Paul, do you think he could hinder us? Yeah. Paul would keep on. Paul would continue. Paul would be the one that continues to fight the good fight, facing a roaring lion, as Peter describes the old devil. And to recognize that we are in a war. I have said before that we were born onto a battlefield. And every day you live this life, you're on a battlefield. You'll never leave it till the day you die. We are fighting against the one who wants to destroy the souls of mankind. Over in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, Paul was, again, trying to encourage the young preacher. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, he says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you also are called and are confessed the good confession in the presence of many people." There are hindrances and struggles and problems in every way of life, whether you're a truck driver or bricklayer or the governor of the state. There are just hindrances and problems in every form of life. And we need to recognize that. And we need to keep in mind what our purpose is and to serve the Lord. But what would we be hindered from? Hindered from what? Well, look with me. Well, back to our text, Acts 8th chapter. And we started there, just Acts 8 and verse 36. "And as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?'" We would say, what's hindering him from obeying the gospel of Christ? And then it could apply just to a congregation of brethren, where Paul would say in Galatians 5, you ran well. What happened? What was going on? And keeping the hindrance from doing what is just obeying the truth. Whether obeying the gospel of Christ or walking in the light as He would have us to live and conduct ourselves. It might be individual and personal. Look over in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Paul's talking to the husbands there, and he's talking about their attitudes. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, he says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." How do you hinder somebody's prayers? You get in a situation where God won't listen to your prayer. And He says, "I want you to have the right attitude, husbands." Here's what He's getting at, and talking about the wife. "And although she may physically be the weaker vessel, she is an heir to the grace of life, and that your prayers be not hindered." A wonderful description that's given there. We can be hindered from doing a lot of things, obeying the truth, our prayers as they approach God, our efforts to gain, just to gain heaven itself. Over in Luke, the 13th chapter, Jesus is speaking and He makes this statement, Luke the 13th chapter, down at verse 24, He says, "Strive to enter in through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able." That's a good way of looking at being hindered, certainly so. So we have to be concerned about
how we go through life, of what's happening in our life, and many other things we could talk about, but some of the major causes of hindrance get back to us again. The idea of the problems that happen in false teaching and not listening to the truth. Matthew, the 7th chapter, Jesus is speaking again. It is great to read this passage all the time that we have the opportunities to. Jesus is warning us. Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 15, beware of false prophets, which demands we have to know what's right and what's wrong, what's false and what's correct. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. You know what they produce in their life. There's false teaching in every way. And we must confine ourselves to what did God's word reveal, especially in our day and time where we're just constantly pounded with information from every direction about 1,000 different things. But especially as we talk about how we live our lives and our service to God, because John gives us that warning over in 2 John 9. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. And a major cause of hindrance for children of God is just false teaching. Look with me back at another one. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew, the 13th chapter. And we read down at verse, I'll just read one verse. Verse 21. And you know the parable of the soils. But Matthew 13, verse 21, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. The idea of the false teacher, the false doctrine, the person that believes and practices things the Bible does not teach or instructs us to be involved in. But then we have some consequences to the teaching of the gospel. And that's why Jesus says, hear the parable of the sower. You know, the sower went forth to sow seed, and some seed fell by the wayside, stony soil, thorny soil, and good ground. And he's describing each one of them as having problems of their own. And so when we read verse 20, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, which I think is always the case. In verse 21, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he's stumbled. Some will not endure persecution, but we've got to make up our mind. This is the word of life. This is our leading, the pathway to the heaven that we so desire. Matthew, if you're there when Matthew 13, look on Matthew 24th chapter. Jesus, again, is warning people. Matthew 24, down at verse 12. He says, and because of lawlessness, verse 12, and because of lawlessness, or because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures in the end shall be saved. And this is 2,000 years later after Jesus said this, because lawlessness will abound. We still live in that frame of mind, that disposition in the society we have. I mean, there's not just lawlessness in our society today. I mean, it truly can be said lawlessness abounds. We have to make some very serious decisions and determine purposes in our life to say and recognize that despite the idea maybe of persecution, that I will follow the Lord. And all of the writers of the New Testament recognize that. Over in 1 Peter, Peter writes it this way. He says in verse 6 of 1 Peter 1, he says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter recognized that. Tribulation is going to come. Test of our faith is going to come. But we need to recognize that our faith, the teachings of the Lord, is the very definition of our life. So there are major causes and the hindrances that we face, and some of them may be false teaching, some of them may be persecution, some of them may just be popularity. Like, for example, John the 12th chapter, and we read down like it, verse, well, we'll just read one verse, verse 42, John 12, verse 42. You recognize this one immediately. Jesus says, nevertheless, or John records here about Jesus' teaching, verse 42, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. What's the problem there? I guess first and foremost, you would say it would have to do with the idea of maybe being, I don't know, popular, acceptable to certain parts of society. But here was a group of people that it says, among the rulers, many believed in him, but. And that's kind of where that idea of popularity comes in there. And we just have to make a decision on our own, what we're going to be a part of. How am I going to live my life? Or not just popularity. Over in Hebrews, the second chapter, we read beginning in verse 1. Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 1. Not just the idea of popularity, of being a part of an acceptable part of society, and that's the demand made upon all of us. But we read in Hebrews 2, verse 1, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away, not paying attention. Verse 2, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? How shall we escape if we neglect? Maybe it's issues of popularity, just getting along in society, and it's always been tough. Maybe it's issues that we're not paying close enough attention and become indifferent about it. But there are hindrances we all face. And it's brought up by, and just the study of it, by the question that the eunuch asked back there in Acts the 8th chapter. What hinders me from being baptized? What hinders me from being a child of God? A lot of things. We need to be aware of it. Look back in the Old Testament. Proverbs 7th chapter. No, make it 1st chapter. Proverbs 1st chapter. Let's start there. In Proverbs 1, one of the first points he makes as he gets into a study of Proverbs is verse 7. Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We may be hindered by false teachers, people just teaching something completely erroneous, not demanding of ourselves to maybe find out what the Word of God has revealed of what He wants us involved in. We may be hindered by persecution. That happens. Seems to be always something that's present in the lives of Christians in some place at some time. And then this idea of emotions that we have to deal with, maybe it's popularity that we read in John 12, 42. Maybe indifference, as we said. Right here, as is recorded by Solomon, the fear of the Lord, the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction.
We need to respect the Lord. Because look with me on over to 29th chapter. And we'll read this one together. Proverbs 29. We see the opposite. What he said in verse 1, or excuse me, in chapter 1, was the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But in the 29th chapter, verse 25, the fear of man brings a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be saved. I mean, there's so many things that could really be a hindrance to us obeying the gospel. A hindrance to learning and living the life of the Lord. So many things that we have to, of our own selves, recognize where's this coming from and what is this that's happening. Some of the major causes, and there's minor causes that could create problems. But we talked about the idea of false teaching being a great cause, of persecution being a cause, emotions that play upon us. Maybe it's fear, like Proverbs is trying to tell us. But Proverbs 4 and verse 23 will still tell us those same thing we've always talked about. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We talk about hindrances. We're not just talking about someone who hears the gospel of Christ for the first time. He's traveling along with a gospel preacher. And he said, what hinders me from being baptized? He really just opens the door to the issue. What are the hindrances that we're going to have to face? Have the faith in the Lord and continue to serve Him. If you're there with me and still there in Proverbs, reading Proverbs the 4th chapter, as we said, in verse 7, it says, wisdom, Proverbs 4 and verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. And he starts telling us about understanding and wisdom. And we drop down to verse 12. He says, when you walk, your steps, what did he say the principal thing was? It's wisdom. Understanding the will of the Lord. In verse 12, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. Or my translation says, not hindered. I'm reading the New King James Version. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. We can obey the gospel of Christ, just like the Ethiopian eunuch did. He heard the truth and he obeyed the gospel of Christ. And we can't afford to allow ourselves who become children of God and we're serving the Lord. We can't afford to have people hinder us in the service of God. Look at this terrible description. 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter, this terrible description of Christians. That's the terrible part of it. 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter. Again, we won't read all of it. Let's see. Look at verse 20. 2 Peter 2 and verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's talking about Christians, isn't he? For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of truth, of righteousness, than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit and a sow to washing and wallowing in the mud. Just a repulsive picture of the dog and a hog. When he's talking about the dog and the hog there, he's talking about Christians who have gone back into the world. But when we think about the major hindrances, let us always keep in mind Romans 8 and verse 31. The Lord is for us. The Lord is for us. If you're here this morning, you're not a member of the body of Christ, you need to be. But if you're children of God, you also need to pay attention to what you're doing, why you're doing it, what your convictions are, what your faith is, and who the Lord is that you serve. The one you want to walk in the light with.
If you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, we extend to you that invitation. We baptize you into the body of Christ this very morning. If you're a child of God, maybe you haven't lived as you should, you just desire the prayers of the brethren. We'd be more than happy to go to God's throne on your behalf. If you're subject to heaven's call, would you please come? We stand and sing.